In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Christ is ascended. Earth to heaven. Great. Get in the back. Can you hear me okay? Got double thumbs up. That's awesome. So, can any of you think of like one of the earliest heresies to ever plague the church? That's very early, which we're going to address on Sunday for the Fathers of the First Ecumenical Council. What came before that? St. Irenaeus of Lyon against heresies? Gnosticism. It was horrible. Awful stuff. And so, I don't know if you know much about the Gnostic belief system. It's not really even a religion, I guess. It's kind of a belief system. But they were very much against materiality. They're kind of known, right? They believe that there was this great monad. First of all, I want to qualify by saying we don't know a lot about the Gnostic religion because it was very low structure. They didn't have a whole like central authority to define what their beliefs were. But the one form that kind of emerged in the early church was Valentinianism, right? Valentinian was this one that preached this form of Gnosticism. And so that's what we kind of know about. It wasn't until much later where there's discovery at the Nag Hammadi where we got some Gnostic texts and got some ideas of what they really believed. Well, they hated materiality, right? Like this stuff here, right? That stuff. They hated it. Human body, they hated it. They thought it was awful. Materiality was created by a demiurge. It came down in the Old Testament. He created the material world to enslave the spirits, yada, yada. And then, of course, the divine Sophia sent down the word, Christ, to free us from the materiality and to let us be freed from this mortal coil and to ascend into the heights of heaven, to be reabsorbed into the eons. It's pretty crazy stuff. Thank God they trampled that down and orthodoxy triumphed, and here we are today with the Orthodox faith. You know, even Plato hated materiality. He hated it. He thought that the point of life was to prepare for death so that when you died, your soul could be freed and you could be ascend into the heights. And it's easy for them to think that, right? We all think about that. The material world is kind of rough. There's nothing that I've ever had that hasn't fallen apart or broken eventually. Everything that we've ever laid our hands to will eventually be gone. Everything's crumbling around us. Governments rise and fall. Bridges collapse. You know, things are built and they crumble. And so it's easy to look at the world around us and say, "Oh yeah, this is horrible. I don't want this. You know, I want to go in heaven. I want to go in this ethereal realm. I want to dwell in the heights." But then, Christ is incarnate in the flesh, and many heresies came out, including Arianism. He's really wrestled with this idea that God would take on materiality, that he would become flesh, he would be enfleshed, right? And he wrestled with this, and he's like, why would God become flesh? That's impossible. The flesh is evil, right? Materiality is evil. God would never stain himself with materiality to walk among us, to be man. It was a scandal to many people. And that's where a lot of these heresies came from. You know, Nestorius famously hated the fact that Christ, the God, was a baby. You know, how dare God be a child, you know? There's no way that could ever happen. And yet that's exactly what Christ did. He did not come to free us from materiality. He did not come to free us, but to save it, to redeem it. And he took that very thing upon himself. He took human flesh as his own, fully God, sitting at the right hand of the Father, still eternal with the Father. Some people say, well, he left the Father and became... No, he never left the Father. He was always with the Father, but he took flesh and he walked among us. He ate, he drank, he slept, he walked on water, you know, he wept, he did all these things. And he redeemed that thing. Because that's what God does, right? He doesn't come to destroy materiality, but to redeem it. Christ is the Redeemer. He is the Savior of the world. He goes out and he finds that which is corrupt. He finds that which is broken. He finds that which is lost. He finds the lost coin. He finds the lost sheep. And he brings it back and he saves it. And the good world that he created. Now keep in mind, in Genesis, there's two creation narratives in Genesis, by the way. But the longer one that we're more familiar with, he creates everything by his word. And he looks at it and he says, that is good. And keep in mind, when God says that is good, what he's saying is, I see myself in that. Because that's good, and I'm good, and that's good. So I see myself in my creation. So as he's separating the water from the land, and he's separating the light from the darkness, and he's setting the day from the night, and the moons and the stars, and he's laying out the firmament, He's saying that's good. Creation is good because I created it from my hand, created by my word, i.e. from Christ. It was created. It was good. But then man came along and corrupted it. And so what Christ has come to redeem that which is lost, to save that which we corrupted. So he takes human flesh upon himself because only in human flesh can he die. So he becomes human, fully human, 100% human, while still being 100% God. He dies in the flesh, he goes into the ground, he kills death, and he resurrects human flesh. And that's the bodies that we get when we're resurrected. We get that body that he has. Incorrupt, eternal, divine, heavenly, angelic. That can go up with a shout. We get to do that. Everything we're talking about today with ascension, that's for us. You know, he went up with a shout, well, so shall we. We will have heavenly bodies. We will rise from the dead, and we'll see each other, and we'll recognize each other. And we'll live on this earth, and it'll be sanctified, but at the same time, in a moment, we will be up in heaven with God. And then a moment later, we'll be back on earth. And a moment later, we'll be back in heaven. And a moment later, we'll be back on earth. That's what he's promised us today. There's nothing that Christ has done that's not for us. Don't look at it from afar and say, oh, Christ rose from the dead. Well, you're going to rise from the dead too. Christ has ascended. Well, you're going to ascend too. He always goes before us, as a shepherd does. He leads the sheep. And what blew me away, is to stop and think that human flesh is in heaven, sitting at the right hand of the Father right now. Materiality is in, and by the way, the right hand of God, you ask them, well, how do they know which side is God's right hand, right? Which side is God's right side? You know, which way is he going? Well, God's everywhere. He's in uncircumscribed, we can't really say, but when we say that he ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of the Father, he sits in the flesh in a place of honor. So every time that we say that, you know, the sheep at the Matthew 25, the final judgment, says, come to my right hand, you come into a place of honor. The left side is a place of dishonor, a place of, you know, hell, basically. So human flesh is being honored in heaven. Take that, Gnostics. You know, human flesh is being honored in heaven. It is sitting at the right hand of the Father in the Son. And so what does that tell us here today on this great feast? This great and glorious feast. And I'm so happy to see all of you here today. Thank you for coming. And I know God bless those who would be here if they could. The lesson for us here today is that there is nothing that can't be redeemed by Jesus Christ our Lord. Nothing that cannot be saved. There is not a single thought. There's not a single moment. There's not a single memory. There's not a single experience. There's nothing in your life that has ever happened or ever will happen that cannot be redeemed by Jesus Christ. If God can take on corrupt, well, his body wasn't corrupt, but he did take flesh from the Theotokos. It was Adam's flesh. It was incorrupt in him. He was sinless. But if he can take that and put it in the ground and out of the ground form a new man, a resurrected flesh that sits at the right hand of God, what can he do for you? Don't doubt the power of God. He is the Redeemer. We say that all the time. Mean it. Understand it. He is the Redeemer. He has come to save everything, to call it back. And so, as you go through your week and you reflect on things that are happening in your life, or things that have happened, or things that might happen, or any of these things, give it up to God. Let God save it. Let him redeem it. Let him make it holy. Let him take it upon himself and sit it at the right hand of God in heaven. That's our task for today. So let's honor the feast today by submitting our entire lives, every thought, every word, every deed, every experience, every problem, every success, every victory, every failure, it is all his, offered to him, and let him save it. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, one God. Amen.